morning. Today's lesson is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they have acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place to Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, whom had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and pitched a tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, thank you that we can now await your message for us. We pray that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning. May you remove any obstacle that might hinder us from receiving and applying your word to our lives. Bless us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you a quick question. How many of you honestly get a little bit anxious when your phone loses signal while you're driving in an unfamiliar area, right? And you know that feeling when the blue dot, you know, on your screen starts spinning and says searching for GPS. Because we love our maps, don't we? We love our five-year plans, our insurance policies, and our security measures. We live in an age that is absolutely obsessed with minimizing risk. We want guarantees before we take a single step. But I want to ask you another question today that might, you know, disrupt your comfort level. Are there times when the G in GPS actually stands for God? And if it does, what happens when His global positioning system doesn't give you a map, doesn't give you turn-by-turn directions, and doesn't tell you the final destination? What if the screen just says, go, and I'll show you when you get there? That's exactly where we find a man named Abram and his wife Sarai in Genesis chapter 12. Before they were the legendary Abraham and Sarah, they were just a couple living quite comfortably in a place called Haran. Now let's be real about their situation, okay? It says Abram was 75 years old. He wasn't a young entrepreneur, you know, looking for a setup opportunity, a startup opportunity. He was the unchallenged, wealthy patriarch of his clan. His father had passed away, he was settled, and Sarai, well, the text implies that she wasn't a spring chicken either. You know, they had arrived at the season of life where you look for stability, where you look for comfort and predictability. And right into that comfortable retirement, God drops a bombshell. And he says, leave your country and your family and your relatives and go to the land that I will show you. Now notice what's missing here. There's no blueprint. There's no timeline. There's no signed contract. There are no coordinates. All Abram gets in a simple and sharp imperative, go, that's what he gets, and a wide open promise, I will show you. Go, I will show you. And what you need to understand is that in the ancient world, this wasn't just inconvenient, this was terrifying, okay? Because God was asking Abram to sever the three biggest anchors of his security. His land, his extended clan, and his father's house. Because in those days, your land was your future. Your clan was your safety net. To leave them meant stepping out into total vulnerability. It kind of reminds me of that J.R.R. Tolkien's quote from The Fellowship of the Ring, right? The old hobbit Bilbo Baggins is talking to young Frodo as he prepares to leave his comfortable home, and he says, it's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out of your door. You step into the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there is no knowing where you might be swept off to. And when God calls us, we have to be prepared to be swept off to, well, God knows where. It's like driving down a dark country road at night in a heavy fog. You can only see as far as your headlights reach, just a few feet in front of you, but you have to keep moving forward anyway. This is what we call faith without a blueprint. Abram's call collides head on with our modern craving for certainty and security. Because you see, the only coordinate Abram received was a relational one. To the land that I will show you, says God. The map wasn't a diagram, the map was a relationship. The security blanket wasn't a destination, it was the person making the promise. And isn't this exactly where so many of us live today? Think about the young couple stepping into marriage. You say, I do. But you have no map for what the next 40 years hopefully will bring. Think about the recent graduate stepping into the job market that feels like shifting sand. Think about the middle-aged child stepping into a heavy caregiving role for an aging parent with no clear end in sight. Think about a church stepping out to start a new ministry where there are no clear resources to support it. You see, true faith rarely comes with a blueprint. Faith means trusting God's voice more than our own desperate need for clarity. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Knowing something is real even if we don't see it. And Abram shows us that this assurance isn't passive, okay? It's a willingness to lift your foot and take the next step even when the landscape ahead is entirely shrouded in fog. But notice why God does this. God didn't call Abram into the unknown just to test his nerves. There was a massive, beautiful purpose behind the disruption. God tells him, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will place a curse on those who harm you, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. When Abram heard, I will bless you, he was probably thinking about survival, a personal future, maybe some cattle, a few kids. But God was thinking about generations and nations and centuries. God's vision was infinitely bigger than Abram's comfort. And this is, by the way, the core of our vocation as disciples today. Whatever God gives you, your talents, your time, your finances, your unique opportunities, it's never meant for hoarding, okay? It's meant for sharing. We're not blessed for self-indulgence. We are blessed for generosity. You are blessed to be a blessing. And we see that this promise reached its ultimate climax centuries later in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through whom all nations are blessed. And guess what? We are the heirs of that call. We are the conduits. The blessing is supposed to flow through us, not stop with us. Now, how did Abram survive this mapless journey? If you go look closely at verses 7 and 8, you'll see a pattern. As Abram journeys through Canaan, a land already occupied by hostile Canaanites, he stops at places like Shechem and Bethel, and he builds altars. And these were just, you know, were not just random piles of rocks, by the way. They were markers. They were visible testimonies that said, right here in this spot, God met us. And those altars did a few things. They marked territory. Even though Abram was just wandering, a wandering nomad pitching tents, every time he built an altar, he was driving a spiritual stake into the ground and declaring, this space belongs to the Lord. There were also places of primitive worship. It was where he invoked the name of the Lord and consecrated his possessions and sought guidance for the next leg of the journey. Now, you know, we might not pile up heavy stones in our living rooms today, but we desperately need to build altars in our lives too. We need spiritual practices, journals, moments of intense prayer, and shared testimonies that remind us of God's track record. If you remember, our opening hymn today was, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And there's a line in the second verse that goes, Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. Now most people hear, you know, Ebenezer and think of Ebenezer Scrooge, right, from A Christmas Carol. But the word actually comes from 1 Samuel 7. After God gave the Israelites a miraculous victory over the Philistines, the prophet Samuel set up a massive stone and named it Ebenezer, which literally means stone of help. And he stood back and he looked at that rock and told the nation, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." And so when you are going through a heavy fog, you need to look back at your stones of help. When the road ahead is dark, your gratitude for what God has already done becomes the fuel for your faith to move forward. So what does, you know, this ancient story offer to us as we walk out of those doors today? Let me leave you with four quick takeaways. To the anxious among us, trust the promiser, not the plan. God doesn't hand us maps. He hands us himself. Anxiety grows when we demand clarity before we offer obedience. God reveals the way as we walk it. To the ambitious, remember that blessing is for sharing. You know, culture whispers, build your own brand, and make your own name great. God says, I will make your name great so that you can be a blessing. To the weary, remember your altars. Stop. Look back. Count the moments where God carried you and protected you or delivered you. If he was faithful then, he will be faithful now. And to the doubting, remember that walking by faith is the ultimate mark of a right relationship with God. The prophet Habakkuk once stood trembling before a terrifying future, and God told him, "The righteous live by their faithfulness." And centuries later, the apostle Paul looked back at Abram in Romans 4 and said the exact same thing. Abram didn't have flawless theology or perfect certainty. He just believed God, lifted his feet, and kept walking. And because of that active and trusting obedience, Scripture calls Abram a friend of God. Who wouldn't want a friendship like that? To be called God's friend. And Genesis 12 does not end with Abram, you know, settling down in a secure fortress with a crystal clear 5-year plan. It ends up with him still on the move, pitching tents, building altars, and taking the next step. And God is still calling people today to leave comfort zones behind. It might be a geographical move. It might be a vocational shift. Or a difficult call to step into forgiveness and reconciliation. Or maybe it's radical generosity. We don't need the complete map. We just need to know the one who says, "Go, and I will show you." And that is more than enough. Let us all step into the unknown today, not with fear, but with an act of faith. Let's build our altars along the way. confident that the God who calls us is the absolute keeper of His covenant with us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, as human beings, as people, we always look for clarity and certainty and security, and we want to know what the next five steps are. We don't want to move unless we know the full plan. And yet that's not faith. May your Spirit take away our fear. May your Spirit make us obedient. May your Spirit enable us to take the next step, even though we don't know where that's going to lead us. May we trust in the person more than the plan. May we know, God, that you are ultimately in control and you want what is best for us as individuals, as a church, as a community. Thank you for the example of Abram and how you blessed all of us in the end through Jesus because of Abram's obedience. We thank you and we praise you in His name. Amen.